How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
I think he's confident. I think he's healthy. I think he's able to land the breaking ball at will. I mean, he's pitching behind, knowing what guys are trying to do to him. He's able to move the fastball around. I think the fastball's played since his first outing, probably in the second inning. The fastball's played up in the zone well, and you know, the velocity's been there. The cutter looked really nice tonight, and I thought he threw some chase cutters in to some righties and got some weak contact there later in the game. I thought he just mixed and matched as well. You don't ever feel like the hitters are really comfortable off of him.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, David Haw, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock. That was David Ross after Drew Smyly's latest solid effort. Friday night in Minnesota, the Cubs 6-2 winners. They begin a 9-game road trip the right way. Drew Smyly, a big reason why, Bruce. 6 innings, 2 runs, only 1 hit in his final 3 innings. The mastery continues. You look back to the middle of last year, when maybe he started this run, especially August and September, he has taken the mound and removed the doubt. And he's done it in a way, Bruce, that's very quietly consistent, very professional. Unexpected? I don't know if it's unexpected anymore, is it?
I don't think so. This is a very polished pitcher who has a great pedigree. The only thing that's prevented him from being a star for a long period of time is just some injury issues over the time. He has really been a quality pitcher throughout his career, David.
And let's go out to our guest hotline presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. That's where we find the Cubs' dependable left-hander, Drew Smyly. Drew, welcome inside the clubhouse. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well. Thank you for getting up and joining us this morning after a tremendous effort last night. This is the way you start a road trip, and your consistency continued. We talked about what you offered on the mound in terms of 6 innings and how over the last 3, the Twins only managed 1 hit. Let's talk and start there, Drew. What was working for you so well last night?
I think just, you know, filling the zone up, you know, going right at them, attacking. They were very aggressive, you know, as I only threw like 70-something pitches in 6 innings. But, I mean, that just tells me that they're swinging. They're swinging early in the counts, and they're trying to get footballs in play. So, Yan just does an amazing job of keeping hitters a little in between and off balance. And, you know, I just try to hit his glove as best I can.
You are so consistent and at the same time so, you know, modest about what you're able to do. When I look at your game, I think of Rich Hill's long career. I think of Jamie Moyer's fantastic career where he was released a couple times, thinking about becoming a gym teacher. And then 270 wins later, he was one of the great stories in baseball history. What is it that allows you, with your stuff, to continue to compete and get big league hitters out?
I don't know. I think it's just trusting it. I think it's just, you know, believing in yourself and knowing that if I execute a pitch, that it's good enough to get these guys out. I mean, I have utmost respect for all these hitters, but I also know that I'm just as good, you know, and I might not be as flashy or throw as hard as some of these other guys on the mound these days, but when you execute pitches and you keep them off balance, like I said, and make speeds, and just have trust and belief in what you can do, you know, you're going to be just fine.
Drew, I always appreciate the way you credit your catchers for the role they play in your outings, and certainly Yan Gomes has made an impact. And even if he's kidding you sometimes about how many home runs he's hit off you, as you alluded to post-game, I think that his role in this pitching staff's stability and the fact that the Cubs have 20 quality starts and lead the National League in that category, for a moment, what is it about Yan Gomes that makes him so special behind the plate and makes pitchers like yourself compliment him seemingly after every good start?
He just has a really quiet confidence about him, too. You know, like, I think just he's obviously a leader in the clubhouse. He's been around for a long time. Everyone knows his track record, you know, World Series champion. But when he just, when he talks to the other pitchers and the guys in the locker room, it's just like this, he has this presence about him and confidence that he, it brings up everyone around him. You know, it makes you, it makes me as a pitcher feel confident. You know, he trusts what he does. He, the way he talks about game planning and hitters before the game, it just puts a lot of faith in what he's doing. You know, like, just for example, last night going into the game, we were talking about Carlos Correa, and, you know, I kind of said I don't think we should throw him that many fastballs, that we're better off throwing cutters or curveballs to him. And he spoke up and just said, hey, listen, we're going to find a good spot to throw him two or three fastballs in a row, and it's going to really mess him up. He's going to come in, you know, looking to hit your curveball, and let's just stay with me on the time. We can double up on fastballs, and I think it'll change the whole, you know, approach of the team. And then in the first inning, if you notice, I finished them with three straight fastballs, and he took all three and looked at them. And I mean, that's just a testament to Jan. You know, like, he's so ahead of the game when it comes to kind of getting in these guys' heads.
Drew Smiley, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse. We're with you every Saturday, 49 to 52 weeks out of the year, talking baseball on the Score. And Drew, you and I had a conversation last week kind of about what 500 means in baseball these days. And I wonder if, you know, you would relate that to our listeners today, you know, a little bit about the fact that I think we kind of agreed that 500 is a really good place to be at. And there, unless you're in the American League East, it's kind of denoting and depicting what baseball is about in 2023.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, like we talked about, I just think teams are getting better as a whole. You know, there's not as many teams rebuilding anymore, which is a really good thing in baseball. And then when you throw in the new schedule, this is the first year of the new schedule on top of that, where you play everyone, you know, just like on this road trip where we're playing Minnesota, who's the first place team in the AL, and then we go to Houston, who's been the back-to-back World Series. And, you know, they just won the World Series. So you're going to play teams across both divisions, and you're going to play everybody. And when you do that, I just think it kind of it makes it really hard to just run away with wins, you know. So you're going to see a lot more teams battling and playing that 500 baseball. And at the end of the year, I think it'll make it much more exciting as you see a lot more teams in the hunt thinking they have a chance to make playoffs.
Drew, I got to ask you about the infusion of energy that Christopher Morel creates, because he's been here for a week, and I know the team, you know, Cubs are off to a pretty good start. There's a lot of optimism and reasons why, because of the pitching, because of the defense, because of a lot of things. Then here comes this young, charismatic player who just keeps hitting. How would you describe the effect that he has on the clubhouse and the impact he's made immediately?
I mean, yeah, everyone knows he has a huge impact. He, you know, he has that million-dollar smile. He has a presence about him that just brings positivity and happiness around everyone he's with. He's a great dude. He's a great player. Everyone knows how talented he is. You know, I think I said this last night after the game. I think it's a testament to how much talent and the team that the Cubs have, because everyone knows Christopher Morel is an everyday player in the major leagues. He can change the game at any moment. He can play any position. You can put him in the outfield. You can put him in the infield. Like, he just, he's a gamer, and you need his bat in the lineup. But, you know, we haven't really had a spot to put him. And that just, to me, just shows we got some really good players on this team. You put him on any other major league team, and there's definitely a spot. But I think that's just a tough decision and a really good decision for the Cubs to have, to kind of keep him in AAA and keep getting his ABs. But everyone knows he's going to be on our team. He's going to help us win a lot of baseball games. So I'm excited to see him in the lineup right now, and I'm excited to see him getting these everyday ABs. And just like last night, you know, he just that was such a huge home run he hit. So I love the energy he brings to our team.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you. We talk about run prevention, and the Cubs have been a fun team to watch. There were a couple of clunky moments in one inning yesterday that led to a run or two, but for the most part, run prevention and watching guys who are really good at defense and baseball has been a part of Cub baseball this year. How much fun has that been for you when you're out there, number one, and it just as a baseball fan watching that element of the game take place on your team?
It's great. I mean, as a pitcher, you love to see it, right? We have tremendous defense all around the diamond. You know, we got gold glovers behind the plate. We got gold glovers in the outfield, the infield. You know, it's been awesome to see Belly in center. He just runs things down. He gets such awesome jumps. Sometimes he makes plays that look routine, but, you know, like, at times, I don't think other teams are making those plays or other center fielders. And then we have two shortstops, you know, with Nico and Dansby up the middle. Everywhere you look, it's just guys making great plays. And just going back to the beginning of this conversation about my philosophy and how I pitch, it puts a lot more confidence in pitchers knowing that they can throw the ball over the plate. And just I just need to try to do a good job of inducing weak contact and keep the ball in the park. And those guys behind me are going to run it down.
Well, it's not flashy. It's very consistent. And I wonder, when you're that consistent, as much as you have been, you know, during your Cubs tenure, really, but especially since the middle of last season, I wonder how you'd put into words what the Cubs do, not necessarily what other teams don't, but look, as an example, Kyle Hendricks comes back in the midst of his rehab, and he says, I need a session with Tommy Hotovy. And he has a bullpen session, and Hayden Wesneski calls it one of the most professional things he's ever seen. And we talk about the infrastructure that the Cubs have with Tommy and other guys. What is it about the Cubs pitching approach that makes it special, that makes it different?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it's just how in tune they are. You know, I think how prepared and on top of things they are. It sounds like an easy answer, but in today's game, I mean, I've been on a lot of teams. It's just not that way in other organizations. Whether they just don't know, you know, when pitchers, it's too late when you start going down a bad road and they don't realize it and pick it up enough, or they're just, for whatever reason, don't tell the player. Sometimes teams are scared to give players too much information, think it might lead to chaos or, like, the too much information in their head. The Cubs just do a really good job of finding what you do really good, and if you might be slipping down a bad road, they stop it right there at the beginning before you get off the tracks too much. And Tommy has just a way about him to make the pitchers feel very confident and to believe in themselves. And he's such a good mechanical pitching coach, but at the same time, like, he's really, really good at simplifying it. I think that's probably the biggest key when we talk about Tommy Hotovy. Like, he can come to you and give you one or two little tweaks, and you're not going to think too much about, I got to change the way my delivery is or the way I throw. It's just a minor thing in the set of all your delivery, and it makes all the dominoes fall into place. And that's how I feel with the Cubs infrastructure and how they pitch. It's just like they give you the right information at the right time.
Drew, our city gets beaten up all the time in newspapers and all across the country about the city of Chicago, but please relate why your wife and your kids love the city of Chicago and why you consistently wanted to come back here other than just the Cub organization having treated you so well.
Well, we live close to Wrigley Park, or Wrigley Field, I'm sorry, right there, kind of in Lincoln Park. And, I mean, I'm able to walk to the ballpark. Wrigley's just has such an historic grounds to it. And seeing my kids scooter down the road to Wrigley in the neighborhood, it has such a friendly feel. You know, I can walk to the park, like I said. It's a vibe that you don't really get in other cities and other stadiums, you know, of being able to just walk to the field with my kids every day. Stuff like that. It's just like that neighborhood feel where I really love it. And, you know, then when you go into the games and whether you're pitching or not pitching, you're sitting in the dugout and every single time there's 35,000 fans in the stadium, it makes playing baseball a whole lot of fun. So
I love the whole Wrigleyville area, and me and my family just love it there. It's been a great situation for me.
Last thing, Drew. So you talked about the 500 record, and that's exactly where the Cubs are as we wake up this morning, 19-19. But it feels like you're better than that. It looks like you're better than that. What is it about this team? Does it feel like you're in the midst of a winning season, even though your record says you're right smack dab in the middle?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a ton of confidence in our locker room. We've been pitching great. We've been playing defense great. We've been hitting great. And just in the midst of a season, when you play 162 games, you're going to run into some slumps. You're going to run into some games where you lose some close one-run ball games. And I think that's what happened to us the last week or two. But like I said, we're playing really good teams. You know, things are going to happen like that. You're not going to come out on top every single night. That's just the way baseball is. But we know we have a team where every single time we take the field, we're going to have a really good chance to win. And when you have that, it definitely puts a lot of energy and positivity into the air. So, you know, we're not going to slump our heads. We're going to just sit up there and go try to win every game. And even in the midst of, you know, a little tough stretch like we had on this last road trip, everybody knows we're better than that. And we just got to get back out there. And I think the ball will start going our way.
Drew, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck moving on this season, and we'll look forward to talking to you next time.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Drew Smyly, the Cubs' dependable left-hander, Bruce, the model of consistency, 4-1 record, 3.05 ERA, coming off a big victory against the Twins in Minneapolis to get the Cubs' road trip off the right way. It's fun to talk to somebody who has as much of a grasp on what he's doing and why as Drew Smyly does.
It really is. I mean, he's, you know, as a reporter, and you know this from being a reporter for all the years that you've been, you know, in this business, you have your go-to guys in every clubhouse, you know, guys that you can get the pulse, guys that you can run anything up and down the ladder, and they'll give you a straight answer. They're not going to bury anybody, but they'll tell you straight. And Drew has always been that guy since I've known him. He's been with the Cubs off and on for the last 4 or 5 years. So from that perspective, he's a terrific guy to deal with. But I think it's, you know, something you have to give the Cubs front office some credit for is bringing in the quality of people that they've brought in to go along with the talent. It's one thing, you know, to have brought in Drew Smyly once, but they've brought him in three different times, David, as a free agent. And one time he pitched for them at all. They had to pay him $7 million 1 year. He wasn't able to post up because of injury. But that tells you what they believe in as far as quality of players on and off the field. And, you know, when you see it and you see a clubhouse like this, you have to give them credit.
You made a couple of interesting comparisons that I think are good ones because – you know, I think there are certain guys you look at and you describe them in the latter part of their careers, and you can't use lefty without using crafty. The crafty lefty, right? Jamie Moyer, Rich Hill. Drew Smyly kind of fits the mold. He's 33 years old. The Cubs are the seventh team that he's played for, and it's the third time that he's been, you know, with the Cubs. So right. He's well-traveled, but he's a good guy to have in a clubhouse because of the way he adapts and just how relatable he is in terms of whether it's new teammates, old teammates, all teammates. He's an easy guy to have around.
Oh, and by the way, 2021, he played for the world champion Atlanta Braves. Okay,
not bad.
So throw that into the mix. You know, like, again, I don't think we can allude to often enough how many former world champion players that the Cubs brought in here. You know, are they all going to work out? Are they all going to hit 300? Are they all going to win 20 games? No. But they do bring a confidence that you see in that clubhouse, especially, David, when things aren't going right and they're losing 4 out of 5 or they're coming off of a road trip. I talked to a number of their young players after that last road trip where they didn't play well. And they said, we looked around. Wisniewski said to me, I looked around and they were smiling. They were confident. They were doing their work. There's a lot of there's a lot of things I learned by just being around some of these guys who have won before and don't get shaken up by a short losing streak.
I call him Wisnasty, Bruce. So I think you should.
Yes.
Wisnasty. And he's back on the mound today. Cubs, Twins, 110. Pregame right here on The Score at 12:30. You know what we're going to do next? Hopefully, we're going to connect with Dusty Baker, the Astros manager here on Inside the Clubhouse. Stay tuned. We're here till 11. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6-7 to The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
It was amazing. He was the manager of the Cubs, like, way back. In 04, I went to some games that summer. I believe he was the manager then. He's managed so many legends, and he played with so many legends, and he himself is one, too. So it's just so cool to get to play for him, and yeah, to be on the team that finally got him a World Series as a manager was also incredible. It made it that much sweeter when we won. You know, we were so happy for him, and you know, it was kind of the last box we feel like he needed to check off, because he won one, or he had won at least one as a player, I believe, but not as a manager, and he had been there quite a few times. So you know, what an experience to get to be a part of that with him.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine. Boy, that was Trey Mancini, the Cubs outfielder, talking about his experience playing for Dusty Baker last year for the Houston Astros, which brings us to our guest hotline presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. That's where we find Dusty Baker. Good morning, Dusty. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. I was trying to recognize that voice. You know, but not to mention it was Trey Mancini. How's he doing over there?
You know, he's doing okay. They're off to a pretty good start. You know, they're 500, but they looked like a better team, and he's certainly, his presence in the clubhouse has maybe been his biggest contribution. He's still finding his way at the plate. But, Dusty, as you listen to a player like that, who had a short period of time, you know, in your clubhouse, on your team, speak with such reverence, it's got to make you feel good. What goes through your mind when you hear stuff like that?
Well, I don't know. It kind of embarrasses me a little bit. You know what I mean? And, you know, you just figure, hey, man, that's part of your job. And this is how you were raised. And this is, you know, what you're continuing, you know, to pass on to, you know, these young men and young women. And so, you know, that's what goes through my mind, that you might have been a positive influence on somebody's lives and their family, you know, and put them in a more secure, you know, situation, and also put them in a situation to succeed.
Dusty, it's great having you on. Thanks for picking up the phone and talking to us today. It's always wonderful catching up with you. And talking to you yesterday, you were asked about being the ultimate winner, winning a World Series last year. But I think it was fascinating to hear you say, hey, whether I won the big game or not, I've always looked at myself as a winner and people around me as a winner. Can you expand a little bit on that philosophy that's kept you going through these years with tremendous successful seasons, but not the gold ring until last year?
Well, you know, I mean, my dad would always tell me, you know, I do have a pretty good game in whatever sport I was playing. And my dad would always tell me that I did pretty good. And he never said, you know, hey, you did good or you did great. And, you know, that was his way of, you know, keeping me motivated. And I've been a captain on most of the teams I've been on. I played all sports. I was just the honor man in the Marines. And just that, you know, my path along the way to this point, I've always thought, you know, that I'm a winner without necessarily wearing it on your sleeve. And, you know, I remember my daughter asked me when she was really young, she said, Dad, you know, why must you always win? And I was playing jacks or tiddlywinks or jump rope or whatever we were playing. And I said, well, baby, I was supposed to win. And she said, Dad, that's not an answer. You know how kids keep bugging you. And she said, Dad, that is not an answer. And I said, well, let me tell you, you know, the only thing I come up with is, hey, man, they're not going to let you win in life. And so, you know, you're going to have to, you know, take these wins. You're also going to have to take these losses. But you keep getting up and you keep, you know, persevering, because this is how I was raised in the church, about, you know, perseverance and character and strength. And, you know, it's easy when you win. I mean, it is very, very difficult to get back up, you know, when you lose. But, you know, you got to get back up. You know, like you might cry at night, but in the morning the sun is up and it's a new day. Like it was raining last night. And first thing I do is open the window in the morning and the sun is up. And, you know, whether you can see it or not, you know that the sun is up. So that's just my outlook on life. And, you know, like I really dislike negativism and to be around negative people. I don't have to be around them. So I try to surround myself with positive people. And if they're not positive, then you try to influence them to be, you know, more positive.
What a great perspective. And it seems as if you passed down a lot of that to your son, Darren, who, by the way, Dusty, hitting the cover off the ball at AAA, 353 for Rochester. Yeah. Did you see, I don't know how active you are on your computer, but or Twitter or social media, but you had to have seen the highlight. He made a second base, a behind-the-back ground ball on Thursday, and he threw out the runner. That was highlight. That was great stuff.
Well, I'm not, you know, I don't go on there. You know, I don't even have an account, but my wife does. And like Gary Matthews called her the best reporter out there, because she anything I want to know about him, you know, like, you know, she's on it. She follows it on the computer, you know, the games. And you know, we're proud of him. But like I tell them, son, don't get too high when you're going good, or get too low when you're going bad. And that, you know, I gave him a little more than pretty good, you know, like my dad used to give me. And so, you know, I let him know when he's doing good. And I try not to be too hard on him, you know, if he doesn't do well, because I've learned from other players that I've had, or friends that I've had that had sons that played. And it's very difficult to, you know, to be the son of a former player, especially if you were a pretty good player. You know, I talked to Barry Bonds, I talked to Ken Griffey Jr. Now I got Craig Biggio, whose son Gavin is in in Toronto. And so, you know, he says he doesn't call him every day, he doesn't talk baseball every day, and it's a little difficult to do. But you know, these guys are helping me deal with the son that's trying to make it, because there is a lot of pressure on him. And, you know, he's admitted it to his mom, you know, not admitted it to me necessarily, but I mean, I can feel it. I feel for him. And then my wife said he made another great play last night. And so, hey, you know, just keep on playing.
Dusty Baker, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse. He's David. I'm Bruce. We talk baseball every Saturday, 52 weeks out of the year on The Score. Dusty, you talked about being grateful for having another opportunity yesterday when you were talking to a couple of us guys. And I think that is earned. It's not given. When I talked to Davey Martinez a couple years ago about what it was that made Dusty Baker successful, he talked about the fact that he was the 25th man on the team when they had 25 only, and that you treated him as well or better than anyone else, that you knew the food that he liked, you knew his family members. This is a lot of people work that you do. I don't think it's a mistake, Dusty, that you've been a success where you've gone.
Right. Well, I don't think it's a mistake either. But, you know, I just, you know, when I was a kid, you know, they would never let the two best players on the playground play with each other, if you're playing football or basketball or whatever it was. So, you know, me and another kid would always pick, and I'd always pick the kid at the end that was have his feelings hurt. Nobody wanted him on the team, and I'd get the rebound, and I had feelings for him, and I'd get the rebound, and, you know, I could score all the points if I wanted to, but I felt better passing it to him until he finally scored a point. And then, you know, once I got into the Marines, you know, they explained that, you know, you leave no man behind and everybody's important. And then when I started studying some Asian culture, you know, they would always talk about the circle of life, and the circle is not complete unless the lesser is equal to the what they say, the lesser, which is is equal to whatever the greatest is on the team. And I'm paraphrasing, and so I try to, you know, use that, you know, try to make everybody feel important. Because they are important. And, I mean, whether you contribute to one game or whether you contribute to, you know, 10 games, it doesn't matter. We're going to need you. Plus, Davey is talking himself down a little bit. Davey was not the 28th player on a 25-man team, okay, because Davey was a good player. I mean, he was an excellent player. He had speed. He had some power. He was a good hitter. And he could throw, you know. And so, like I said, Davey, I think, is just being humble. You know, but Davey was a very good player.
Dusty, it's a challenge that every manager wants, but coming back and defending a World Series title and finding the same level of intensity and finding the motivation the year after you win it all has to be a new set of challenges for you. What's been your philosophy in approaching it? How well do you think your team is responding to it?
Well, I mean, I think we're responding to it well. I mean, but the only thing is I don't have the same team that I had out there that won the World Series. You know, like, you know, when I was watching Phil Jackson, I watch him a lot. He was saying every year is different. You know, Vince Lombardi, you know, every year is different that you're trying to, you know, you're trying to win. You know, I read some quotes by Red Auerbach and, you know, John Wooden. And, you know, this is a different year. I don't have Verlander. I've been without Altuve, our leader, Mighty Mouse, from the very, very beginning. I've been without, you know, Michael Brantley from the very beginning, and now I lost Urquidy, and now I've lost Garcia. I mean, you start chipping away with your team, you're not the same team. I mean, I'm a team out there with probably 6 to 8 first or second year players. And so, you know, the challenge is to get the first and second year players to contribute to psychologically and physically to the point where they are not just happy to be here. You know what I mean? They're not just happy to be here. We expect them to play, expect them to win. But the one thing I have noticed, a difficulty, is that you have to teach at the big league level because they rush them so quickly out of need. And because they have less minor league teams to let them stay there and cultivate and marinate their skills, that they get here before they really learn how to play. And you don't know what guys don't know until they mess up something. Then you're like, I can't believe I just saw that. And then you got to go over and have a learning moment. And just as long as they don't make the same mistakes in a short period of time, you know, you have to live with it.
Dusty, I had Sean Sears, our producer, play Walking Blues by Paul Butterfield Blues Band because I know you're a huge blues fan. You're good friends with Elvin Bishop, you know, so all of that. But what I'm alluding to is you took some of your people fishing up to Kenosha the other day on your off day. How essential is it to have a different perspective on doing other things throughout a baseball season just to keep your mind and everything intact?
Well, you have to. I mean, you got to take a break away from your job. You know, that's why people can't wait till it's Friday. You know what I mean? They could leave Saturday and Sunday, but they got to go back. That's why I dread going back to work on Monday. But see, we don't have Fridays and Saturdays. I mean, this job can be 6 days a week or it could be 16 days a week, you know, in a row. And so it's very important that you recharge. That's something I learned from Hank Aaron and something that, you know, I learned from actually Dave Kingman, like I said yesterday, because he used to live on a boat and used to go fishing off his boat. And I love fishing, but sometimes this game can get all encompassing and then you're on this hamster wheel that you can't get off. And, you know, sometimes this game won't let you sleep. And you know, a lot of guys, what happens is, you know, they get so into the game that sometimes they get into the bottle or they get into drugs to try to try to escape from it. So you have to, like, you know, get away from your job. I think that's for everybody. You got to get away, or else this job will, you know, consume you.
Before we let you go, Dusty, obviously Jose Abreu comes back to Chicago. He's a revered stature on the South Side with the White Sox all those years. What's it been like to manage him, and how confident are you that he can break out of this early slump that he finds himself in?
Well, you know, he's a tremendous dude. I mean, the guys love him. You know, he fit in right away. He doesn't talk a whole bunch yet. I think he works a little too hard sometimes, you know what I mean, and leaves some of the energy because he's wanting to do so well. And he internalizes a lot of, you know, whatever, you know, he's feeling. But, you know, I went through that my first year in L.A., the same thing. It was a big trade. And so, like, I got, you know, empathy for him because, like, I was traded by, well, they traded Bill Buckner to the Cubs. They kept me. Both of us were hurt. I had a bad knee that year. My first year, 75, me and Buck were teammates. We both got hurt, but they booed me every day because it was a 5-for-2 trade, you know, major blockbuster trade. And, you know, I hit a home run my first at bat, and I hit another one until July of the 4th. And I was booed every day. They broke the lamps out at my house, scratched my car, and, you know, the fans were mad. And I was embarrassed. And then I got my knee fixed next year, hit 30 home runs, and I made the all-Dodger team. So I know exactly kind of what he's going through. You know, like, you know, the ice needs to be broken here pretty soon before it consumes him. And, I mean, you don't just stop hitting. It's impossible. You know what I mean? So, like, he's going to get right at the hot at the right time. I just know it. And, you know, he's a carrier. You know, there are two kind of players on the team. There's the helper that gets on base and helps you win sometime, but he's a carrier. And so carriers carry and helpers help. And so sooner or later, you know, he's going to carry us, and I assume for and hope for a long period of time.
Dusty, thanks so much for coming on and being the great friend that you have been. I know you said, you know, you were – happy to win that championship. You wish you had done it with the Cubs while
yes,
you were
I
here.
Do.
That was pretty gracious of you to say. You brought that out of nowhere yourself at while you were talking. So I know you have an affinity for,
you know, whenever
Chicago.
whenever I talk to Jim Hendry, you know, like he says, you know, like he'll say, Dusty, you know, three outs more, man, and the course of history would have been changed. You know what I mean? And I loved working for him. I mean, with him, and I loved working with him and Andy McPhail both. You know, I look back on guys that I work with, and you know, I wish Jim would get another shot like I got the shot, because he certainly knows what he's doing.
Dusty, we love talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck the rest of the season, and congratulations on winning it all.
All right. Thank you, guys. Sorry for my very white voice. This is the voice I have in the morning. You know what I mean?
That's no apology.
Take care,
necessary.
Dust. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Later.
Dusty Baker, manager of the Houston Astros. Bruce, that was great. We'll come back and we'll wrap it up and react to what he had to say. And let's face it, it's Dusty. So it's how he said it that kind of it was just a really fun interview there. We'll talk about it next. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Welcome back. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Bruce, we had a great conversation with Dusty Baker. We just have a few moments left. But I think that it's remarkable to think that it's been 20 years since In Dusty We Trusty, and he was the manager of the Cubs. And that was the season that you know, he referenced at the end there, nearly won it all with Jim Hendry. Seems like a long time ago, but it really wasn't that long ago.
It was 20 years ago that they were three outs away from, or four outs away from, going to the World Series. So time really passes quickly when you're having a good time, right, David? It's just amazing. But just that comment that he made about being on the playground with that with the kids and taking the worst player on his team to lift him up. That gives you a lot of insight into the type of individual he is, why he's been successful as a person, as well as a manager and a player. There's a lot of depth to a person like Dusty Baker.
Quality guy. And another guy that I wanted to bring attention to before we get out of here, Mark Gonzalez covered his last game in Chicago last night. And Gonzo has been a colleague or a friend for a long time as well. He came to Chicago, I think, in 2005. He's got the rare distinction, Bruce, of being the beat writer for the White Sox in 2005. They won it all. And the Cubs in 2016, they won it all. Did a lot of great work for the Tribune. Was freelancing lately for the Sun-Times. Mark's going to become a senior writer at Grand Canyon University in Phoenix. He has some ties out there going back, but just a consummate pro, a staple on both beats, a credit to our profession, and I was privileged to have worked alongside him for many years at the Chicago Tribune, and I'm going to miss Gonzo.
Well, 18 years working with him here, not only just a great pro and a great writer and a great media person, but a great guy, okay, a really good person. He's going to be missed as a friend more than as a media guy, and he'll be missed as a media guy here. So happy trails to Gonzo. Thanks for everything he's done. And we have other people to thank today as well, don't we?
Yes, we do. Drew Smiley joined us in the 10 o'clock hour right at the top. And then Dusty Baker. Boy, short night sleep. Didn't matter. Dusty was terrific. Sean Sears, our great producer. And Bruce, thank you for setting everything up and being the maestro and making everything work. Appreciate that.
David, it's always a pleasure. Thank you both. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on our website, 670thescore.com. Coming up next, of course, is our good friend Mark Grody. He will have Josh Chirac, Danny Parkins, of course, who did the pregame show and a great host on The Score, will be on with him at 12:35. The pregame show with Zach Zaidman. I'll be joining him then. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bruce. Talk to you Mullenhall Monday morning, 5:30. Thanks for listening to Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Fun interview there. We'll talk about it next. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bruce, we had a great conversation with Dusty Baker. We just have a few moments left. But I think that it's remarkable to think that it's been 20 years since In Dusty We Trusty, and he was the manager of the Cubs. And that was the season that he referenced at the end there. Nearly won it all with Jim Hendry. Seems like a long time ago, but it really wasn't that long ago.
It was 20 years ago that they were three outs away from, or four outs away from, going to the World Series. So time really passes quickly when you're having a good time, right, David? It's just amazing. But that comment that he made about being on the playground with that with the kids and taking the worst player on his team to lift him up. That gives you a lot of insight into the type of individual he is, why he's been successful as a person, as well as a manager and a player. There's a lot of depth to a person like Dusty Baker.
Quality guy. And another guy that I wanted to bring attention to before we get out of here, Mark Gonzalez covered his last game in Chicago last night. And Gonzo has been a colleague or a friend for a long time as well. He came to Chicago, I think, in 2005. He's got the rare distinction, Bruce, of being the beat writer for the White Sox in 2005. They won it all. And the Cubs in 2016, they won it all. Did a lot of great work for the Tribune. Was freelancing lately for the Sun-Times. Mark's going to become a senior writer at Grand Canyon University in Phoenix. He has some ties out there going back, but just a consummate pro, a staple on both beats, a credit to our profession, and I was privileged to have worked alongside him for many years at the Chicago Tribune, and I'm going to miss Gonzo.
Well, 18 years working with him here, not only just a great pro and a great writer and a great media person, but a great guy, okay, a really good person. He's going to be missed as a friend more than as a media guy, and he'll be missed as a media guy here. So happy trails to Gonzo. Thanks for everything he's done. And we have other people to thank today as well, don't we?
Yes, we do. Drew Smiley joined us in the 10 o'clock hour right at the top. And then Dusty Baker. Boy, short night's sleep. Didn't matter. Dusty was terrific. Sean Sears, our great producer. And Bruce, thank you for setting everything up and being the maestro and making everything work. Appreciate that.
David, it's always a pleasure. Thank you both. People who follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on our website, 670thescore.com. Coming up next, of course, is our good friend Mark Grody. He will have Josh Chirac, Danny Parkins, of course, who did the pregame show and a great host on The Score, will be on with him at 12:35, the pregame show with Zach Zaidman. I'll be joining him then. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bruce. Talk to you, Mullion Hall, Monday morning, 5:30. Thanks for listening to Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.